43. Isaiah was a prophet who was speaking God's message to God's people at this time. The Israelites are sometimes called, because they lived in Israel, God's chosen people. And the reason I chose this passage that we're going to look at today is that I want to set the groundwork for you for this study for what God believes about you. We're not going to worry right now about what you believe about you, or what you believe about God. We're going to look at what God believes about you. And we're looking at the Bible as our source of truth. There are all kinds of sources of information in our society. Some of them are really good, some of them not so good, but we look at the Bible as our ultimate source of truth. So everything that we're going to read, we know is true. Other things we see on websites or on TV might be true, might have a little bit of truth in it, might not have any truth in it, but this we know is true. So I'm going to start reading Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Jacob and Israel are both names for God's people, which if we believe in God and believe in Jesus as our Savior, that's us. So on your sheet, I had you write your name. You can go ahead and fill your name into this verse as you read it. Thus says the Lord, who created you, Jennifer, who created you, Wanda, who created you, Joanne. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you, you specifically, by name. You are mine. Now, when the Bible talks about redemption or being redeemed, it's talking about paying off something with a price. And in the sermon this morning, if you haven't been to church yet or are going to attend, Mike talks about how sometimes we want to dismiss things that we do, like, oh, I didn't mean to, it was a simple mistake, wasn't so bad, not nearly as bad as things other people do. But he talks about how the Bible is very clear that sin is bad, and sin leads to death. And so the situation that we're in because of the sin in our lives is very serious. But the Bible also tells us that we are redeemed by what God has done for us. And so that's a very personal message that we have, that God has redeemed us. He has bought us with a price. And then the next line says, I have called you by name. So God is talking specifically to you in this verse with your name. And then another commentary I read said that can also be translated, I have called you by my name. So when God looks at us, he doesn't just see me, Sarah, he sees me that Jesus has redeemed. So when you read that verse, you can think about that too, that God is covering you with your name and then his name too. And then it says, you are mine. So I really want you to think about yourself in that situation. You are mine. This is what God is saying to you this morning. You are mine. Now I have toddlers in my house, and so the word mine comes up, oh, about 100 times a day, and with the older kids, and sometimes with me, like, you just broke that, that was mine. So I've been thinking about the word mine and what that means when we say something is mine. Now, Zach is 4, and so if he's got a toy that's nearby, and another kid comes up and grabs it, what's the first thing he does? Oh, mine. And we think of that in a negative way, of, oh, you should share, and things like that, but really all he's doing is protecting what he feels is rightly his. And so think about that for what God is saying about you. Zach picks up that toy and reaches it out of what he thinks is danger. That's what God is saying to you today. Whatever situation you're in that feels dangerous or scary, God is lifting you up and picking you up and keeping you safe out of that situation. The other thing Zach does is, oh, mine. He shields it. He protects it. I want to tell you a story that sometimes still gets me a little bit emotional, but it's about Josiah, and he is now 11 years old, so this has a happy ending, but when he and safe and sound. When he was 18 months old, I took the 3 kids, so my other 2 were 6 and 4, about 6 and 4 at the time, to a birthday party, and it was in a field on Parker Road, so extremely busy road, but there was a fence. So I was by myself with the kids. Mike was probably here. And the kids were all playing, and then it was kind of like, where's Josiah? And so I was a little bit concerned, but I knew the fence was there. So I'm kind of walking, you know, along this fence, looking for him, and then I see that the fence ends. And my heart dropped, into my stomach, and I just started running for the road. And sure enough, he was right by the road. And I went and I picked him up and I just pulled him into my arms, and I was just hugging him so tight. And as a parent, if you're a parent or someone who loves someone very much, you know the words that were going through my mind and my heart of thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And also, what was I saying? I was saying, mine. Thank God my son is okay. That is where you are today with God, that he is picking you up in his arms and loving you and holding you and protecting you, just like I picked up Josiah. Now, the next part of that story, how do you think Josiah felt about me holding him so tight? He was not happy. He wanted to go back to the traffic because that is where the fun is. There are big cars there, and there were trucks there, and in his 18-month-old mind, that was great. So he was squirming and trying to get down. He just was not very happy with me, and of course, I'm crying and holding on to him. And so then I ask you, where are you with God right now? Are you wrapped up safe in his arms? Are you struggling to get down because you want to do things your own way and not his way? Are you playing in traffic? Are you in a little bit of danger? If you are, it's okay. Not because it's okay that we do those things, but because that's what we're going to be learning over the next 8 weeks, of how to rest secure in God's arms. And we're going to do something, and we're going to continue to work on doing something that is not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's dying to ourselves and trusting in God with our lives. Simple, not easy. But we're going to learn how to do it better and better. Okay, so we used our names. Now look at the next thing on your sheet. Something that you're afraid of. Right away in this verse, the very first verse we're looking at, it says, fear not. We all have fears, big ones, small ones, little ones, huge ones. Right here, God says, whatever you wrote on that sheet of paper, I don't want you to be afraid of it. You're resting in my arms. I have it taken care of. Whatever we're worried about the future, doesn't worry God. He already knows. He has it taken care of. So do not fear. Let's go on and look at verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. Look at what you answered for number 3 and number 4 on your sheet. When you pass through, whatever you wrote for number 3, I don't know what that is, but God knows. Whatever that is, he's saying, I will be with you. It will not overwhelm you. He's not saying you won't have problems. In fact, he's saying, oh, you're going to have problems. You will be passing through difficulties, but I will be with you, and it will not overcome you. And then again, when you walk through the fire, so whatever you wrote for number 4, I think of these as kind of the immediate difficulties and trials that seem to come up, at least in my life, on a highly regular basis. God is saying, you will not be destroyed by that. I will protect you. The flames will not consume you. Again, not that you won't have difficulty, not that it won't be hard, but it will not consume you. I am here with you. Let's look at verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. So for the people at this time, again, God is speaking to his holy people through the prophet Isaiah. Many, many, many years ago, they had been in slavery in Egypt. This was hundreds of years previous, but they would have known the stories, and God rescued his people by dividing the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land, and then eventually they were in the Holy Land where they were living, and throughout these generations, a great many of them had fallen away from God. So God is reminding them that they are his people, that people that he rescues. That's what he's referring to in that verse. And then let's look at verse 4. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Again, I want you to think about your own name in that verse. Because you are precious in my eyes, Jean, Jan, Clara, Chris, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. And then he's talking about, I will do whatever the cost, whatever it takes, I will do that for you. And then verse 5, fear not. He says it again. Now, anytime in the Bible something's repeated, it's really important. We need to pay attention. So he said it just a couple verses ago, and now he needs to say it again because we need lots of reminders. Fear not. Whatever it is that you're holding to, that you're afraid of, he's telling you to let that go. Do not be afraid. And then he goes on and says, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. The nation of Israel, during this time, much, much later than their redemption from moving out of Egypt, is starting to be split apart. And other countries that are bigger are starting to come in and take over, and there's war, and there's a lot of difficulty, and nations are starting to be spread. This is a very painful thing to have happen, families being separated, that type of thing. And so what he's saying is, I can restore this. This is a situation where you're having a lot of difficulty. I can restore it. So I want you to look. Actually, I'll go ahead and read the last verse. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. So again, restoration. The message is the same for us. He tells us he loves us, and then he says, I will restore you. If God can take a huge nation of thousands, possibly even a million people that are spread all over the place, and really a very small nation amongst huge superpowers that are coming in, if God can fix that, he can fix what's broken in your life and make it whole again. God can restore what's broken. I like to think about it this way. God is in the business of miracles. We know he does miracles. God is in the business of fixing broken things. God fixes broken people, and God uses broken people who are messed up, who have screwed up lives, where things just never seem to quite go right, and use them for his good and turn it around. And that is the miracle, and then use it for his glory. And that's what he wants you to know today. So I want you to look at the situations that you wrote for numbers, I think it's 5 and 6 on your sheet. Is it 5 and 6? The situations that you're going through that are difficult, that bring you grief, that bring you difficulty, that seem like you can't move out of. And look at what God is saying in these verses to you about that. I can fix what's broken. I like to keep things simple. I can fix what's broken. I believe that that's what God is telling you today. I can fix what's broken. And then the last verse. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Again, I want you to put your name in there. Sarah, who is called by my name. Sarah, whom I created for my glory. Sarah, whom I formed and made. That's no small promise. That's huge. That God has done those things in my messed up life with my messed up situations. And that's what he's doing in your life too.